We doing all right this morning?
Yeah.
I can't see you, so let's go ahead and bring up some house lights in here so I can see everyone this morning. Hey, thank y'all so much for being in the house of God today. Look at y'all showing up strong in the place. And I tell you what, I see a Bucky's shirt out there. Have y'all ever been to Bucky's? That is, there are gas stations, there are rest stops, and there are Bucky's. I love Bucky's. It's absolutely fun. If you've never been to Bucky's, you should stop. I tell you straight up, it's going to be crowded. I know it's weird coming out of worship and talking about Bucky's, but it is relevant, man. Listen, anytime you can get fresh smoked biscuit or brisket in a gas station, that's pretty good. Oh, and by the way, let's just throw a Cracker Barrel gift shop in there. And let's put a sporting goods section in the back corner. And good Lord, any kind of sweet or treat or drink you can think of is in there. That's just crazy. The church needs to be more like Bucky's is what I'm thinking. Just raise the standard. You know what I'm saying? Brisket in church, little cake ball things in church, our own brand of beef jerky. I will say this, though. Wouldn't it be cool if you can imagine one day when God is moving so strong, and not just Eastgate Church, but every church, that anytime somebody drives by, they've got to go in there because what's inside is so irresistible, they got to take part in it. You know what I mean? So that was a pretty good pivot, wasn't it, Pastor Jeremy? I was pretty good. Hey, if you're a guest here today, my name is Josh. I'm lead pastor here, which I say this all the time, but I mean it. I'm lead servant here at the church, leadership team here. We all have the same heart. We're here to serve. Nobody's a diva in this place. Listen, everybody's got a call. Everybody's got a place in the body of Christ. And the pastor is no more special than anyone else. They're just doing their job like you're doing your job in the kingdom of God. And if we all do our job, we'll reach a lot of people for Jesus. But if you're a guest here, we're so glad that you're here with us today. Thank you for joining us. We always say when you walk in, you're no longer a guest, you're family. So we're hoping that you feel that way. We're not rigid. We're real laid back. We're real casual. We're real relaxed around here. We're just ourselves is probably a better way to say it. And we figure if we're just us and we're serving Jesus, that's a good place to be. So we don't put on shows here. We go hard in the paint to get in the presence of God. The Holy Spirit's in charge. And we just trying to give you a quick synopsis of our church, man. If it's in the Bible, we're for it. If it's in somebody's opinion, preference, or religious background, probably not for that stuff. But if it's in the Bible, we're all for that, for sure. You picked a great Sunday to be here, by the way. Today is the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo, which when every Hispanic friend that I have, I talk to them, they're like, man, it's a gringo holiday. It's a gringo holiday. We don't celebrate it. I was talking to one guy we were going to some conference. He's like, yeah, it's a gringo holiday, man. So we don't celebrate it in our culture. I was like, but doesn't it celebrate like this big victory? He goes, yeah, we won a victory and we took over the town. He goes, but the next day they come back. He says, so we don't talk about it. He's just like, it's a gringo holiday. But we thought since it falls on a Sunday, we'd have fun with it and do this thing called Cinco de Preachers. And so that's what we're doing today. We're going to have five people on the stage today just sharing one topic. And listen, we're going to have some fun, but I hope you're buckled up and ready to receive some powerful word of God too. So this is what's fun about today. Well, actually, I'll hit pause here and leave you hanging. I'll come back to it in just a second. Y'all know what next week is? Every mom in this place knows what Mother's Day is. Yeah. Probably some of the men went, oh, junk. I got to get it. I better step it up. Hey, if you said, oh, junk, it's okay. We'll be praying for you. Next week for Mother's Day, though, I will tell you, we're doing some amazing stuff here. Listen, mothers should be honored. Without mothers, I'm pretty sure none of us would be here. I'm looking around. Any anomalies? No, I do. There's theory on whether or not Dave Varney was created in a laboratory. If you don't know Dave, to get to know him, he's a special. Yeah, he's a great guy. I'm picking on him because I know he can handle it. But yeah, we've all, you know, none of us are here without a mom, and so mom should be honored. And so next Sunday, we are going to honor moms. Every mom is going to get a special treat. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you're going to want to be here because two things. It's free, which is good, especially in today's economy. It's free, and it's going to be good. So, yeah. So we don't want to give away nasty junk here. It's going to be free. It's going to be good. And I will tell you this. For every mom that shows up with your families, you know, that's a big day for moms. It's probably one of the few days you're able to get all of your families to show up to church. It's not like Christmas or Easter. But if you get your families to church with you next Sunday, we have arranged to provide free family photos to all the families next Sunday. Now, you can get excited about that. All the women are like, yes, family photos. All the guys are like, crap, I got to dress up next. I get it. I feel you. But it's going to be great. And listen, it's not going to be somebody snapping a picture with an iPhone. We're going to bring out a professional photography company. They're going to set up the whole deal. We're going to treat you right. And you're going to have some professional quality photos for your family for free because we love you and we just want to serve you. So take advantage of that next week. Free stuff is good. Free good stuff is better. Free good stuff is better. I know Pastor Jeremy's been working really hard on an interpretive dance to honor all the moms next week. So you're going to want to be here for that. Listen, it's no joke. That guy had to stretch for 3 weeks before he started practicing. Right. I'm having fun with you. Great day to be here. You can have fun in church and still honor God, I think. I think God has a great sense of humor. Look at the giraffe. You know what I mean? Look at the giraffe. I could say look at some of us in the place today. If you look at our personalities and our quirks, I think God's probably got a... Actually, I know he's got a bit of sarcasm in him if you look at Scripture, which makes me feel great. The closer I get to God, that's saying, just flowing that spirit of, yeah. Sarcasm's not a bad thing. All right, we're going to get this thing going. We're going to bring our communicators up on the stage this morning, and I haven't forgotten anything, have I? We're all good? Okay, to keep me on track this morning, we just came in hot from a men's camping trip yesterday, which was amazing, by the way. It was absolutely awesome, and we had, listen, until you've had a powerful move of God in front of a campfire on the side of a lake, I'm just telling you, man, it was a special, special evening. God did some powerful stuff in our lives, and man, I'm just honored that anybody would take time to get out in the woods with people you may or may not know, which is always risky if you don't know them, but it was great. We had fun. We had a blast. We ate good food, and God moved powerfully for sure. But let's go ahead and bring everyone up on the stage, and y'all can go ahead and get set. So come on, Pastor Kelly. Come on, Rachel. Come on, Pastor Jeremy. And Miss Lisa, come on up here and get ready. Y'all are really close. That's good on lighting? That's where y'all need them for lighting? Okay, because my goodness, I feel like y'all are creeping up on me. Everybody grab a seat. You got to sit in a chair. There'll be a space for everybody. Now, this is how this is going to work today. This is how it's going to work. Everybody that speaks today is on a timer. Yeah. 10 minutes tops. 10 minutes tops, yeah. Why are y'all clapping for? What is that? That's what I'm saying. Everybody... What? Right. There's no way. Yeah, for 10 minutes is just like, hey, how you doing?
This is how they are every time you're gone. Just to let you know.
This is it. It's like we get to be there early. All right. So this is how it's going to flow. It's real relaxed, real casual. There's going to be a 10-minute timer at the 1-minute mark. We're going to have a little bit of warning noise. Since we're flowing from May the 4th be with you to Revenge of the 6th, we thought we'd put some Star Wars themes in there too. So. Going a little bit, it's going to be kind of fun. Open mics on the stage, too. So God be with us. But we're going to have fun. This group right here, listen, if y'all just ever have a free Tuesday evening and you want some great entertainment, come up to the church and watch our directional team meetings. We talk smack, have fun with each other, and accomplish a lot for the kingdom of God, for sure. But we're going to get this going. Now, listen, am I correct in saying this? Is this like your first time ever sharing something
way to make her
in an adult? I want to make it is.
Yes.
Okay.
All
right. So this is not just a fun day.
To go first.
This is a big day because we did Lisa a favor. This is her first time ever getting up and sharing like this So you guys are already there. So we need to support her. I mean, shout her down. Amen. Get into it. I know you prayed and you prepared and all of that, and you're ready to rock and roll. So, Lisa, I'm excited to turn you loose here in just a second. We thought a great topic for today, since there's five of us, we just thought we'd talk about the church and the focus and mission of what the church should be, and have some fun with that today and just dive into it. Are you ready, girl?
Yeah.
Are you nervous? I would be.
Yeah.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Listen. No, listen. It's just this, man. It's just the holy word of God. Scripture says you're accountable for more because you're a teacher, and you got eternities on the line. So don't mess it up. You'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be fine. He is not nice.
Have fun. Share yourself. I can't wait to hear what God's got on your heart. I'm so excited.
Yes.
I'm going to sit behind you.
Before we get started, I'm gonna kind of play around with this message a little bit. We're gonna have some fun, definitely. So if you hear me talking a lot, saying, "Are you in tune with your star player?" We're talking about yourself, okay? We're talking about us, all right? I'm ready. Let's get it.
Come on.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna open up with a scripture, and it's coming from John chapter 14, verse 23 through 24. It says, "But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth."
Yeah.
So, one of the things, I'm talking about worship today, and one of the things a lot of people don't really know and kind of understand about, what does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? So we're going to kind of play around with this thing, and we're going to do a self-check evaluation on ourselves. Are you a true worshiper?
Ooh, come on now.
Okay.
First question.
Are you a true worshiper? And this is how you will know that you are a true worshiper. A true worshiper will know God intimately. Do you know God intimately? The more you know God, the more you understand God. And the way how you, the concept about that is, you cannot worship a God you do not know. Mm-hmm. The only way you can work to know God, get to know God and His what He is and what He's all about, is through His word and prayer. Mm-hmm. Knowing and understanding the depths of your sin and how it breaks God's heart. The same way, in the way we kind of go, when growing up, we break our parents' heart when our parents tell us, "Don't hang out with that friend. No, you can't go to that party. No, come home straight from school." In our minds growing up, we thought, "Oh, God, Mom don't want us to have fun. You don't want us to have a life." But she's telling us this for a reason, because she sees things that we don't see as children growing up. The same way with God. God sees things in spiritual that we don't see. So when we learn and know and understand the depths of our sins and how it breaks God's heart, then your worship will be deeper.
Yes.
My next point, free yourself to worship.
Yeah. That's good.
When you are you worried about the style of the music, or are you actually listening to the words? When you're dancing, shouting, lifting your hands, singing, kneeling, there are different ways of worshiping God. David gives a great example of how we should worship God. David didn't care who was watching him. David would get up and dance. He would shout. He would lift his hands. He would kneel. David was an extraordinary way of worshiping God. My next point. Hold on.
Dude, this is so good already. You're doing an amazing job.
We should have made her go last, man. We all got to follow.
I know, right?
My next point, focusing your heart on God. Are you focusing your heart on God? Are you balking out the distractions? Or are you too worried about what's going on with the football team? I'm gonna keep it 100. I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. Are we worried about if the Georgia's gonna bring home another state championship? When you focus your heart on God, you get to feel God's presence.
Yes.
When you are in God's presence, He hears you, and you can be able to hear Him. My next point here, prepare your heart to worship. Are you preparing your heart to worship? On Sunday mornings, we have an awesome prayer meeting from 9:30 to 10. When you coming in here and praying before you get ready to worship, you throwing down all the tasks that's going on, trying to worry about whether or not I got to get my kids to E-Kids, I got to drop them off in nursery, I got to figure out what I'm going to cook for dinner after service. When you come in to church early and just pray all these things. When you coming in to church early and pray, you are coming in and laying down a heavy heart.
Oh, come on now.
Here are some things that you can do for worship. Have a list of songs of worship, pray, meditate. Things that help with a heavy heart. So the big question I want to ask, why do we worship, and what does worship do for me? It reminds us of what we already believe. It softens our heart towards God. It even softens our heart towards others. It affirms our participation in something larger than ourselves. It opens up non-believers to the truth of the gospel.
Yes.
So what it does for me, it teaches, when we worship together, it teaches us to submit and surrender all cares to God, our priorities, our plans, our hopes, and our dreams, even our fears. So once again, I ask, are you in tune with your star player?
Now, with time to spare,
3 minutes, so I get that
look
time. I get that time.
No, no care. It does not roll over.
It doesn't roll over. I don't know how I'm supposed to follow that, so we'll see how this goes. We could restart my timer. Wow. You good?
I don't know, but you got to do it with almost 4 minutes left on the clock, too.
It's fine. I got 10 minutes. I am not trying to beat her. I'm trying to beat myself. All right, y'all, so I'm going to talk to you about relationships. What does the Bible say about relationships? And this isn't like a marriage thing. This is just regular, everyday relationships. If you didn't know this, we are relational beings. We as humans, we like to be around people. We like to just have those relationships, that camaraderie, if you will. But what does the Bible say about them? So I'm going to hit you with this verse right out the gate. You can write it down. Matthew 22:37-40. It says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love thy neighbor as yourself." But here's the best part. This is why I like Matthew's version. The entire law and all the demands of the prophet are based on these two commandments. So let me tell you what that means in Rachel terms. Being a Christian is easy. It's two things. We're not caught up in legality. We're not caught up in all of the things. Here's two things to be a Christian. Love God and love people. That's what it means to be a Christian, right? Love God. That's the relationship that should be the most important thing that you think about. When you wake up, when you go to bed, when you're throughout the day, my relationship with God. Do you have a relationship with God? It's not a one-sided thing. We need to love God with everything that we have. Our time, our money, our actions, right? Are we loving God like He left heaven and He left the throne where He was worshipped every second of every day, and came down here and died for us. Do we love him like that? Are we treating him like that? Are we treating God and Jesus that he did that for us? And he did it so we can have a place to go with him. So are we showing God that we love him like that? Or showing Jesus that we put that time and effort in our actions into that relationship, right? Now the next one, love his people, or love thy neighbor, as it says. Who's your neighbor? In a word, everybody. Everybody. Your literal neighbor who lives next door, right? Your server at the restaurant that you're going to go to. The person that picks up your trash. The person in the pew next to you. Your pastor's your neighbor. Your boss is your neighbor. Everybody is your neighbor, right? So we have to show people that God loves them by how we treat them, right? And that's hard, right? Because we claim to be Christians, which, by the way, the word Christian means Christ-like. So we claim to be Christians, but if we're going out into the community, our world is full of hate right now. It's full of burdens and stress and all these things. But if we're going out to the world and treating people who have different opinions than us, they have different beliefs than us, they may have different lifestyles than us, and we're treating them with hate, we're showing them that our God's no different. Our God's not different from anybody else. We are not different from anybody else. Love your neighbor at the very least to show them that God loves them by how we treat them, right? Because I believe it's Gandhi that said, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. They are so not like your Christ. And that tells us something, right? We don't have to go out and support everybody on all the things they're doing, but we can love them, even if they're different, even if they have a different opinion with us. So love God, love people. That's the basis of it. But here's the deal. That's hard to do sometimes. No? For me, it's hard to do sometimes, right? So what we have to do as Christians, we've got to find our tribe. Find our people who love us and will correct us when we're having issues. Those people that I can call and say, hey, I'm struggling right now. I made a mistake. I didn't do the thing the right way. I didn't say the right words. I got angry. I did this or that. And they're going to correct me with love. And they're going to lift me up with love. If I call them and say, hey, I feel like I'm drowning, they'll come running to say, you might go under for a minute, but you're not going to drown. Right? They're going to lift me up and they're going to correct me. Right? An accountability partner, if you will. Somebody to keep you accountable to your abilities. We have the ability to love people. We have the ability to love God and do his will. And we need those people to keep us accountable to our ability, right? But listen, you got to do that for other people too. Those are relationships that you have to tend to. It's not one-sided. Yes, the people are going to come and help us, but you've got to be the relationship for those people too, right? In Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We're relational beings, y'all. Find your people. Find your friends. The ones that I'm going to have your back. I'm going to have your front. So I'm going to go before you when I know the enemy's attacking, or I know this particular time of year is an issue for you, or I know you've got something going on in your life. I'm going to go ahead and pray for you. I'm going to go ahead and be on the attack so that you are not defeated, right? And in John 15:3 says, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Right, so my dad's a pastor of a group in church, y'all. I thought that literally meant that I had to go jump in front of the train for you, I had to catch the grenade for you, and I literally had to die so I could lay my life down for you. But that's not necessarily what it means. We also live in a selfish world. So when we're talking about our relationships with other people, lay down one's life for your friend. Example, my house literally looks like a tornado went through it. I need to spend my time cleaning my own house. However, I know my friend who lives down the road is really struggling. She's a new mom. Work is absolutely crazy. There's so much going on in her life. She just needs some help. So I'm going to lay down my OCD of keeping my house clean to go help my friend. right? I'm going to lay down my life of, I know my friend is having surgery tomorrow. She's got to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning. I didn't know that came twice a day. But I'm going to give up my sleeping time to get up and pray for her, right? Laying down my life. I get one night a week as mommy where I have no mommy duties, no wife duties, no work duties, right? One night a week. But let me tell you, the last few weeks, I have given that up to go pray with a friend, to go do something for them, laying down my own life to take care of that relationship and go before them, y'all. So take care of your relationships. Love God, love people. The entire law, the entire Christianity is based on those two things. Love God and love his people. Amen.
That is awesome.
Cute girl.
Two minutes left.
I was really hoping you were going to go over so we could everybody could experience
the sound. I'm getting concerned,
man.
We got this fancy noise clip at 1 minute, and everybody's crushing it.
You want me to talk a little extra? Is that what you said? That's what I heard.
Listen, you can stay up there as long as you want to. I will sit here and watch you do your thing. You heard him.
He said it.
So if you're a guest, that's my wife. I'm just letting you know.
It'd be weird if I wasn't. No, that was awesome. So we come to church, man, we worship God, we get in that relationship, we build relationships with other people, our relationship with God. And then out of that should naturally flow our developing of other people, okay? Because you can't just continuously be poured into, and not turn around and share that with others and develop other people. And you see these people sitting on the stage. We are only so many people. There's a lot of people who need invested in, and it takes all of us as the body of Christ to make that happen, all right? And it's for you too, as the person who is turning around and looking at other people and saying, you know what, I'm willing to invest in you and develop you. Because here's the thing. Everything that is poured into but has no outlet usually dies or is very unhealthy, okay? The best example is the Dead Sea, right? It's crazy. It has no outlet. It just, nothing can grow in there. Think about a plant. If you water a plant, but it has no outlet to drain the excess off, what happens? It's going to end up dying or rotting or looking terrible. If you eat food, I'm going to do this. I wasn't going to because it's gross. If you eat food and you have no outlet, what's going to happen, right? We'll just leave it at that. Use your imagination. It's going to be bad, right? It's going to be really, really bad and for everyone around you. So naturally, everything about life that you see, things come in, things go out, right? The word of God is poured into you. Sit in here on a Sunday. I know I got to bring you back. You sit in here on a Sunday morning and you get poured into. Someone's investing in you. You have to turn around and send that out. Otherwise, you explode. It becomes unhealthy. You've got to have that outlet. You've got to find someone and you've got to take that and invest in other people. And this is how the church is so beautiful, because all of us together end up going. You see it. You know, you take one person, they develop others. It comes down, you know, and all these people get reached and they get taught and they get invested in. And listen, it's really easy to make excuses, okay? I think I am the queen, right? If you were at our women's worship night a couple Friday nights ago, God stepped all over my toes. I shared it with you. You know, I'm really good at making excuses and justifying things, okay? You're like, well, I don't know enough. I'm just new at this. I'm still learning. Or what if I say something wrong? What if I tell somebody something and it's the wrong thing? Look, you will. Okay, you're not ready. I'll tell you that. You're not ready. You're never going to feel like you're ready to turn around and invest in somebody else. But do you know who is? Jesus is. All right. When something gets inside you and burns inside of you, it's really, really hard to keep it inside of you. You almost have to try, okay? I'll give you an example. My sister, I had a conversation with her a couple weeks ago, and she shared something with me. And it was so powerful, and it rocked my world, very simple and basic. If you have had more than a five-minute conversation with me in the last 2 weeks, you probably heard it. Because I was like, oh, man, you know what my sister said to me? You know, and I turned around. I couldn't help it because it changed something inside of me. And that's how it is. It changes something inside of you. Take the excuses away, okay? Take what you know. If you're sitting here today and something resonates inside of you, you take that and turn around and pour that into somebody around you. But listen, find somebody, though, not just random people all the time. find somebody that you can develop and pour into. Okay, be intentional about it. If you're like, well, who is that? I don't know. I don't have anyone. I feel like all the people in my life are more mature than me. Find somebody, be intentional. If you're a husband, your wife, okay? Your wife is that person you should be developing. Even if you're like, oh, she's way more spiritually mature than me. It doesn't matter. Step into that role, okay? God called you to be that. He'll equip you to be that. Don't be afraid. I remember as a young girl, the day my dad started praying over dinner was a big deal. And as a child, I recognized that step of faith in him. And it was a big deal because my mom was the spiritual advisor in our house until that day, and things started to shift. And it was incredible. And I loved it. Sorry, excuse me. I got a tickle in my throat. Look, it's a thing. I was making fun of Pastor Jeremy and said, we don't have cough drops because he eats them like candy. I think God did this on purpose, so I'd have to eat one of his cough drops.
It is kind of funny because you were all over him about that this morning.
I was. I was so all over him. So now you have to deal with a cough drop in my mouth. Here we go. It's okay. Your kids, if you're a parent, it's your kids, your coworkers, whoever. If you have personally, all right, now I need water.
I'm doing what Rachel said. I'm giving you my water because I love you.
I love you too.
Because we have a relationship and we're married.
We are. If you have led someone to Christ, that's someone you should be developing and helping to grow and invest in them. Okay? Stop looking at yourself and what you have. Look at what God has. All right, because he will equip you. He will give you everything you need. When you're reading a passage of scripture, be like, oh man, this is awesome. Take it and share it with that person, okay? Let's grow the people around us. Let's share with the people around us. Bring people alongside. If you ask any of us, we can probably give you a handful of people that we are personally investing in our lives and developing and growing and bringing people up. I love nothing more than to see people grow and step into who they are. I love nothing more than building people up and saying, oh man, I see something in you and I want to see that grow. Some of you have heard me say this before, but I was raised in church. And do you know who took me under their wing and helped me develop and grow? Nobody. Okay. I was raised in church my entire life. My mom and my dad were the only two adults who ever invested in my life until I was much older. Honestly, this is the first person outside of my parents who said, there's something in you and I'm going to drag it out of you and I'm going to help you grow. And I laugh because I say, if he finds something weak or a little comfort zone, he gets out a pogo stick and jumps up and down on it for me. But he's invested in me, and I thought, how sad is that? Now, you have to understand, for those of you that don't know me, I was a crazy, crazy shy kid. Like, find the shyest person you've ever met in your life, and then there was me. So I was probably difficult. I probably wasn't one of those people. But I'm like, somewhere in life, someone had to have looked through and said, I see a leader buried down inside of you somewhere, and I'm going to help you grow past that. So I want to challenge you today, find somebody and help the thing that they need help being brought up. What would my life have looked like if someone much earlier, much younger said, there's something inside of you. I can see past this thing that's holding you back. And I want to see you succeed. I want to see you work past this. Okay. For that, that's some of you. You may be waiting on one of these people up here to do it. And God say, no, it's you. It's you. So don't sit there and look at how much you don't have to give. Take a look at how much God has to give through you. All right. Awesome. Thank you. I'm under it. Yes.
Good.
Oh, man. I was going to tell you to leave it up there and just let it run out because now I think it's about not seeing if we could do it. Now y'all just want to hear what the sound is, right? So, listen, when we were talking about what we're going to preach over and all this stuff, you know, we kind of came up with the idea of plugged in, right? And basically, what I want to talk to you about today is your role in the church. Nobody? I want to talk to y'all about y'all's role in the
church. Yes, get it.
All right. So, in the book of Acts, it's one of my favorite books because it's not just like the history, but man, it will build your faith. But one thing that I see in the book of Acts is you start to see the New Testament church built. You start to see what this church that Jesus has been talking about, you know, that I'll establish my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You start to see the first glimpses of that and you get this history of the church. But man, right when it opens up, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and the very last thing that he tells his disciples to do is go gather together. Come on now, go gather together. Now, they had spent a lot of time together, right? But then Jesus goes, go gather together, and then I am going to send you my spirit. Gather together and pray. Now that was like the first church meeting, y'all. They got together, they prayed, and they sought God, and they worshiped, and his Holy Spirit came, and the world has never been the same since. Amen. If you continue to read and read on about the New Testament, not only did you see all these people that were filled with boldness, and you just saw, I mean, there were thousands getting saved every time that the Word of God was spoke, and they weren't just getting saved, they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. But not only that, man, the church started to transform. Right, you started at one point. It says that they sold everything they had and just put it all together. Can you imagine being like a church and you're so close to one another, you're so close with God, you're such a community that you're just like, you know what, nothing else matters, let's just do it. But then it goes on further. It said they were never without, they were always provided for. Man, when I start to look at that, sometimes I'm cut to the heart because I start to ask myself, is that me? Do I line up to that? You know, and so I will tell you, church, a couple of years ago, we got COVID that ran through, right? And here's what it did. It gave a lot of people excuses to drop out of the body of Christ. And I can tell you, man, I don't know many of those people that are doing great. Can I be honest? Can we be honest? I got 6 minutes. I can't sugarcoat it. Listen, if they're going to get mad at me for saying it, they're not here. So here's the deal, right? It gave us an excuse. But then I don't know about y'all, but for the ones that love church and love serving God, you know, when we came back, I saw the enemy start to attack that with me. Right, I started dealing with anxieties and stuff that I had never dealt with before, and so I started doing just kind of like a study over this. And man, I'll tell you, God spoke to me about this. You know, in the book of Acts, one of the biggest things is they came together, right? They came together, they prayed, they grew with God, but then just because of that, they were explosive in taking the gospel to their community. So, I don't just want to give y'all some scripture. I want to give y'all something to take home. So, I'm going to take my guitar. I'm not giving you my guitar. Somebody started cheering over there. They're like, yeah! It's we do have a guitar. It's back in Pastor Josh's office. We'll be giving that one away. So for those of y'all that don't know, this is my guitar. This is my baby. I love this guitar. I've always wanted a Martin. I've always wanted a black Martin. I just love it. You know, something about it, I just love it. And y'all know me, I'm Star Wars fanatic. And so can I be honest with you? This is a Darth guitar. Yeah. Yeah, because I don't know, the more and more I get into Star Wars, the more and more I think the Jedi were wrong. Just saying. come on now. But in and of itself, this is just a guitar. And if you don't really know anything about it, you don't know how to play it, then The Black Martin means nothing to you, right? It's just a guitar. And in the hands of somebody that doesn't know what this is and doesn't know how to use this, you can produce noise with this guitar. Anybody can walk up to this guitar and they can produce noise. But it's when it is plugged in and put into the hands of somebody else that it starts to really develop a purpose. Right? And I can tell you that even if you're plugged in, you can not be plugged in correctly, or you can have your guitar in the hands of somebody who knows what they're doing, and the sound's just going to travel as far as the guitar can carry. But when it's plugged in, it's limitless. Right? The guitar signal can go out. And listen, I dare to say that it's even doing what it's supposed to do more so than before. And so what I'm saying, church, is when we come in here, we're not just feeding ourselves. The way this should really work is we're supposed to come in, gather, get filled, and then pour out and empty ourselves, right? And so listen, I will tell you, if you are one of those people that does not place an importance on being in church and serving in church, and I'm not even going to get on serving in church. I got 3 minutes, you know what I mean? Serving in church, they were able to reach so many people because they just went after it. Amen. And so that's what I want to see. I want to see kind of like that New Testament deal where we're just all going after it. But it's going to start by getting plugged in, right? At the end of the day, do I believe that you can be a heaven-going Christian without having the body and the community of believers? You could probably get into heaven. It's going to suck. I can't tell you that biblically, man, that's going to be hard to argue, because the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering. And then the last commandment that Jesus said was go gather together. You know, I wonder what would have happened if Jesus were to do that now. What would that look like now? Like after COVID, right? What would it look like for Jesus to say, go gather together? Go gather together. Church, listen to me. Plug in. I'm trying, man, now I just want to hear the thing. I'm done. Y'all want me to dance? I've got to dance. Y'all want to see my Mother's Day interpretive dance?
No, we set the bar high, so Pastor Josh only has 8 minutes now, because we set the bar real high.
What is it?
You got eight minutes instead of 10.
No, can't do that to me. No, I was going to tell you, though.
I'm lowering
He's going to go over 10 minutes, anyways.
Stretch, dude, because you can't pull a hammy. You need to make sure.
I forgot to stretch. That's probably what's wrong. That's why, man, listen.
20 seconds.
The real reason is I just want y'all to hear this alarm.
He thinks it's a Star Wars sound. It doesn't sound like a Star Wars.
It is a Star Wars sound.
All my Star Wars folk
will know it.
Don't know when.
It does like sound it. Like it. It sounds like a dinosaur.
It sounds like a Revelation call.
Dinosaur.
All right. You're welcome.
Epic letdown.
That was great. Did you say it sounded like a dinosaur?
It does.
It sounds like a dinosaur hollering, going, ah!
Ah! I didn't hear that, Rachel.
That's what the dinosaur sounds like when it steps on a Lego. Yep. It says, ah! That's great. Are we still, y'all doing good? Yeah? Hey, if you're still dialed in, let me hear you give a Ric Flair on three. One, two, three. Woo! There we go. Oh man, y'all started to clock on me already. Look, y'all are enjoying this in an evil way, I'll tell you, man. I tell you. This has been great stuff that all of y'all have. It has been great, though, so far. It's been great. A lot of times when you hear about church, you think, well, this is something that you go to, and it's so much more than that. You know, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he established the church. It's a place to worship. It's a place to to develop other people as a place to connect with and grow and see the relationships thrive with one another and encouraging one another. And he also gave us a huge focus as a church, too. We're called to reach our community.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen? Because if we're not reaching the community, we're nothing more than just a glorified country club.
Yeah.
Really, that's what it is. Yeah, Jesus said, go into all the world and tell them the good news. And that's what he has called us to do. If we don't have an outlet, somebody said it earlier, and that was one of the coolest poop jokes I've ever heard in my life, that Pastor Kelly.
Normally I yell at you for saying things like that, and I did it.
Well, I'm just
saying. You're a bad influence.
But you got to have the outlet. I love you, my beautiful wife. I'm just saying. Look, I was kind of scared because she's got the mic now and the sock thing still isn't resolved in the church, but I just want to say.
I think I enjoyed holding a mic in my hand down here, and I think every Sunday that I get to be in here, I should get an open mic down there. So if you say something, then I can balance it
from
there.
I think that is.
Who's on my side? Who's on my side? That's right. Yes.
I think
yes.
Pastor Kelly gets to preach for Mother's Day next week, and that should be all the mic time that she needs. So you could talk about socks all... Look, almost 2 minutes for me. So
I thought I was preaching Mother's Day. We'll talk after.
Somebody's preaching. I know it's not me. Is it? Anyway, so we got to reach the community, yeah?
Yeah.
We got to reach out and reach the community. Jesus had this cool thing where he would go and seek to save the lost. That was the mission statement of his life. He says, I'm here. He actually said, fulfill the prophecies, awesome. Do the other stuff, awesome. I'm here to seek and save the lost. We're here to reach the community. And I know that can be a little intimidating off the get-go because there's a lot of people in the community just in the Douglas Carroll Paulden County area. There's over 250,000 people that are unchurched. That can be intimidating, you know. But Jesus kind of broke it down, and he said, no, I'm going to just go after the one.
Amen.
I'm going to go after the one. I'll leave the 99. I'll go for the one that is lost. Yeah. Now, 250,000 people is intimidating, but we can go after one,
yeah.
Right? Probably everybody knows someone that needs Jesus. Yeah. In fact, everybody just say one. Okay, so it's one to do. And what the church doesn't need, and we're good about this in church, we're good about starting another program.
Yeah.
Rolling out another ministry, another this, another that. Listen, programs don't change lives. Changed lives change lives. And when we point them to Jesus, if programs worked, if rolling out another program was a solution, our government would be solving every freaking problem in the world. Programs don't get it done, you know. You have to dial in on one. You have to dial in on seeking and saving the lost. I mean, think about this. Why do you think Jesus fed 5,000? Why do you think Jesus healed all the people that he healed? Why do you think Jesus rose the dead? To create opportunities to reach the one. While he was doing all of that stuff, you'd also see Jesus talking to the woman at the well, crossing racial lines, talking to people you're not supposed to talk to. Then Jesus was going after the one. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that Jesus came after me. You know what I'm saying? Now, I know I might not be talking to everybody in this room or everyone watching online this morning, but can you just say you're glad that Jesus came after you? Yeah, because it made all the difference in the world that he decided that I would be one that he would come after, that he would seek and go after to lead to him. That Jesus loved us enough to prioritize us enough to, on his agenda, the Son of God say, no, you matter enough to me to make you my very mission. My existence is for you to seek and save you. I get excited when I start to think about that. I know everybody can't connect to that, but I know there's some people in here this morning that have a little bit of a testimony. If you got a testimony, why don't you go ahead and say amen. I'm saying your testimony. You've come from the broken life. You've come from the broken homes. You've broken out of addiction. You've seen God restore your hearts. You've seen God put back your marriage. You've seen God snatch your children out of the fire. You've been in scenarios where life kind of lost its meaning and you felt like you jacked it up too much and you messed it up too much, or you were on the other side of it and had everything that you wanted, but you were still dead on the inside. But when Jesus came on the scene, everything changed, because Jesus thought you were one that was worth everything that he did, and he's called us to go out and reach this community just like we were reached by somebody. To reach the one is what it's all about. It's what it's all about. We don't need programs. Programs are great. Outreaches are great. I mean, that's why we do what we do here. We run a pretty lean program-oriented church, though. Everybody's like, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? And I'm like, I'd rather do 10 outreaches for every in-house thing that we've got. I want to reach this community for Jesus because we're called to do it. But it goes beyond outreaches. It goes beyond, which Taste of Douglasville that we'll be at pretty soon. Those are great. We're going to get out there to connect with people. But outreaches create an opportunity for us to connect with one, to reach one, to reach one. Jesus has called us to reach one. I can reach one. I might not be able to save 250,000 people, but I can talk to the guy at work. I might not be able to reach 1,000,000 people, but I can talk to my family members. I can pick up the phone and call people that I was connected to that I'm disconnected from now and strike up a conversation. I can talk to the people at Walmart who aren't there to check me out but are standing around watching while I'm checking my own self out. Beep, beep. What's up with that, by the way? But since you're standing there, let me talk to you while I'm scanning my stuff about some Jesus, because God's called us. Called us to reach our community. Can you imagine a church where everyone didn't sit back and say, I love what our church does, and I love hearing the stories about what those other people do through the church that I go to. What if we all said, I want to make my personal mission in life the same mission that Jesus had, to seek and save the lost? Can you imagine what the church would look like if we just had that heart? And it's funny, because the goal is to get closer to Jesus, right? If we're going closer to Jesus, our heart's going to line up with his heart. Amen? We'll begin to see as God sees and love as God loves. Could it be that the closer we get to Jesus, we find that our heart for the community and those around us lines up with his heart for the lost, and that it actually does happen? That the mission of our lives, the whole purpose of our lives, is to seek and save the lost. Yeah. That would be awesome. Three. You stopped me? I wanted to. Two. One. There it is. He did it twice. Be good.
Now picture. Pew, 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 pew.
I'm saying.
Y'all hear it, right?
No, that's what I see, not the dinosaur thing she was talking.
What, dinosaurs?
That dinosaur had bronchitis that I just did. That dinosaur needed help. But yeah, man. So let me walk through this again. Y'all, you can kill the timer now, because I'm done. So, Lisa, you went first. So what was your part of the church? We're created as a church to do what?
Worship.
That's right. What was your part as a church? We are?
Love God, love people. Relationships.
Develop others.
To develop others.
Get plugged in.
To get plugged in and reach our community. Can you imagine if every person in Eastgate just walked out the vision that God gave the church, if we start to live in the reason for the church's existence, to do all of those things, to not, you know what, if we're doing all of this stuff, you know what it keeps us from being? Consumers. Consumers. Maybe God knew that if we didn't have things to do and he didn't give us a specific direction and game plan for the church, that we'd be content rolling in every week, sitting down, getting a good product, and walking out the doors and just being content with that.
Yeah.
I love that he put in his word safeguards to keep us in line as the church. How many of you know what happens to your kids if you don't give them something to do? How long does it take them to destroy a room that you just spent an hour and a half cleaning? No time. You know what I mean? I think God's figured something out. He's like, you know what? If I don't want to mess in my church, I better give them something to do. If I don't want them gossiping, backbiting, slandering, and all of that, I better give them something to do. If I don't want the people in church becoming religious and judgmental and looking down on others instead of welcoming people with open arms the same way that I welcome them, I better give them something to do. I love that. So Eastgate, let's live out the mission of the church. Amen?
Amen?
Let's do that. Let me pray over you. Father, thank you for the truth of your word, for all this amazing truth that has come out today from different perspectives, different styles, and different points of view. Lord, all landing on the truth of your word. Lord, thank you, Father, for what you've spoken to us today. Lord, let us take it to heart and let it not just be part of a different or fun kind of service, Lord, but there was a lot of powerful statements made today. Lord, let us take those things to heart and apply it, because we are still plan A and there is no plan B when it comes to reaching this world. You chose to establish your church to advance your kingdom and to reach the lost. Father, let us all grow into the church that you envisioned for us to be. In every aspect, and not majoring on one thing and denying the others, but to be well-rounded participants in this thing you call the church, and not consumers, not to approach life in a comfort zone, but to aggressively grow after who you called us to be, Father, in every way, shape, or form, and not to be selfish in our approach to church, but to pour into others and love people like you've loved us, and to serve and to get plugged in and engaged and step into the giftings and callings and use the talents that you've given us so that we can reach this community and this world for Jesus. If we work it right, it works perfect. So, Lord, if we need to change anything today, Lord, we just choose to line up with your word, because the capital C church is made up of us. It's not a building, it's us. We are the church. Therefore, the mission of the church goes beyond an organizational creed or standard. It has to become a personal life mission. So let us all strive to achieve that as we bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And amen. Let's give God praise.